To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
This portion of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy over in the St. Johnstown Center. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. Going till 8 o'clock this evening. It's the first two-hour edition of the show. Buckle in. Give us a call on your ride home. 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. First call of the evening comes from out of the area up in Hagerstown, Maryland, and Jason is standing by. Hello, Jason.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I just had a quick concern that I wanted to mention. I'm not sure if Vic is there, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. You know, Vic, one thing I always notice with you is that the Jaguars, if they're going to do well in the NFL, they have to do well in the division. Mm-hmm. And this first stretch of games, the first four, I believe, in my opinion, the team is strong enough at the core that the rookie and developmental players can build around, that I could see them going 3-1 after the first four games. I just wanted to know what you guys thought about it.
Well, if you can guarantee that 3-1, I'll take it right now.
I would love to see it.
And move into week five. Jason, I have my expectations are much more modest for this team this year. I don't think this year is about this year. I think this year is about all the years after this year. I think this team is realistically attempting to develop a new young core, a new young nucleus of players around whom they can build the kind of football team that they built initially. You know, 03 was a building year, and it put them into playoff contention in 04, and that put them into the playoffs in 05. Now, that's my expectation for the same thing to happen. My expectation is that this year, that what they get done in the way of rebuilding this year, putting new players on the roster, a new young nucleus of players, will make them a playoff contender next year.
Just in case you don't know the schedule by heart, here are the first four games: at Indy, Arizona here, at Houston, at Tennessee here. So at Indy and at Houston, Arizona and Tennessee here.
It's a killer.
You're talking about a couple of three teams
that
were in the playoffs, one in the Super Bowl, and one that beat this team pretty good on a Monday night in December.
Do I think they can be 3-1, or my overall expectations?
Yeah, the first four games. First of all, what do you think? You know, is that a tough schedule?
Yeah, it's a tough schedule.
What would satisfy you?
I think any schedule is tough, especially with what, I mean, obviously this team, as you said, is going to look to the future. You know, the amazing thing that I heard from you on Saturday night at the scrimmage, and you threw this number out there, how many starters are there from the 03 through the what year draft?
03 through 05, not counting Scobie.
Not counting Scobie. And how many starters are there on this team from that draft?
Four. Rasheem Mathis, Vince Manuai, Greg Jones, and Daryl Smith. And I don't want to lessen the position, the importance of the position, but two of those starters are a guard and a fullback. I don't see a quarterback. I don't see a dominant defensive lineman, a dominant defense tackle or pass rusher, or a guy with the ball under his under his arm. You know, I mean,
that's a pretty shocking number.
I did some research on it. The average in the league is about 8 to 10. Now, I use those three draft classes, 03 through 05, because those are the draft classes that represent those players on the Jaguars roster who are in their prime, or who are in the prime years of their career, 5, 6, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your Roethlisbergers are supposed to be. That's where your Ed Reeds are supposed to, you know, have come from. That's where your Terrell Suggs are supposed to have come from. That's where your Larry Fitzgeralds are supposed to have come from. Am I in the – those guys are all 03, 04, and 05,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, if you go through the Pro Bowl rosters, I think what you're going to see is that there's probably more guys on those Pro Bowl rosters from the 03, 04, and 05 drafts than for any other three-year stretch.
To me, when you said that, I knew that they hadn't drafted well, but I hadn't actually gone back to count. I mean, that is an amazing number. And you're right. I mean, if you don't have those guys available to you now, you're going to struggle a little bit.
Well, let's start with this. You know, with this new flurry of guys they signed, the kid from Richmond, Vaughn.
Oh, yeah, Josh Vaughn. They brought him in this week.
I think they are now, they're either right at or above 50% turnover on their overall roster.
Well, they went into the season.
39.
Yeah.
39 of the 80 were new to the roster. What is it now with Vaughn?
Well, here it says, and I'm looking at the news release, it says of the Jaguars' 81 roster players, 32 are new to the team, according to Ryan Robinson.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Ryan. Ryan Robinson, if you were in the building, get in here. He gave me 39 out of 80 to start the training camp. We're new to the roster.
Well, there's also, do you count where they were, or do you start from last year's training camp or the conclusion of the 08 season?
Well, I got to find out where he started. I'm hoping he's still
here. Because they could be completely different.
Because Kennard Cox is a guy they signed the last few weeks of last season. Cameron Stevenson is another one of those. And Atiyah Ellison is another one of those. Mm-hmm. So there's three guys right off the bat signed off practice squads late last year that if you count them as not new to the roster, I got to find out where Ryan's getting his numbers. But the number he gave me going into the training camp was 39 new guys.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sure he's listening in his car radio. So, Ryan, call. Clarify this,
but
please.
I mean, to me, the big number is that four starters from 03 to 05 drafts. So 3 years of drafting, and you've got four starters from that.
You know, I got a call last night.
It takes a little while to recover from that.
Got a call last night to Jack's radio show, and the call was, why wouldn't they sign Deuce McAllister? And you just...
Well, he's broken down.
Well, that's it. And that's the point. I mean, Josh Vaughn, Deuce McAllister, right? You're going either for the biggest name that anyone knows, or you're going for a better young player. And that's where they're at. And this call that we just had from Jason in Hagerstown, Maryland, Josh Vaughn is the best example of what this team is doing.
Yeah, I saw that guy, this Vaughn guy. By the way, he's run over a couple people here in a couple days.
Coach was very impressed with him.
He did today.
Yeah.
He looked pretty good.
I mean, I saw him. It was, I believe, the title game against Northern Iowa. Yep. He was a man.
He's a Richmond Spider.
Coach was really impressed with him.
They turned out another back a couple years ago, and now he's with the Cardinals. Is it Flowers? What's his name? Tim. The running back, the backup to to Edgerrin James for the Cardinals.
Not sure.
From Richmond.
But they needed another back. Montel Owens is a little nicked up.
Yeah.
Chauncey Washington is a little nicked up. And in the preseason, if you're going to keep your guys, and that's Maurice and that's Greg Jones, if you're going to keep them fresh, you got to have some backs. They did not have a whole lot of backs at the onset of this camp.
I mean, here's a guy who was just cut by Tampa, so you figure he's just training camp fodder. Then he comes in here, he drops his pads, and guys go flying.
from what I understand, Tampa was doing that to create room for one day and then wanted to bring him back. And the Jaguars were very quick to jump in.
You know what that means? That means Gene's working hard. And Gene's guys are working hard. That means they're not letting anything go across their desk without seeing it.
Tim Hightower is who you're thinking
of. Tim Hightower, that's the guy. Hey, another Richmond Spider, he was outstanding. He was outstanding in the playoffs a couple years ago.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And as we go to break, Jaguars fans, be sure to log on to Jaguars.com. where you can play the AMC Theaters Movie Trivia Challenge. Your chance to win free movie tickets and more only at Jaguars.com. Back after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
9 minutes left in hour number one of Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Back to the phone lines. Kevin's downtown. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, let's get back to the draft, 2003. You guys make an excellent point. You know, you have to remember the environment that 2003 to 2005, the big hitter. You know, here's Del Rio, first year in the draft in 2003. He goes after somebody like Leftwich. Right behind Leftwich is Jordan Gross that goes to the Carolina Panthers. And guess what? Behind him, a beast goes to the Vikings, Kevin Williams. Mm-hmm. A beast.
Yeah, just a fabulous football player. And,
now, let's get back. Let's get to Reggie Williams. Tommy Harris was picked after him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's some other guys who were picked after Reggie Williams, too. Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, my God. Yes, I know. But I'm just saying that you guys have been cuddling like Henderson. Henderson was a product of Haynesworth. Everybody knows it. It was a horrible draft pick. That's not,
don't go there. I mean, that's, hey, look, John Henderson is Pro Bowl player.
Two years. And when Stroud left and really something like that, and believe me, the Georgia guy stood up. The Georgia guy, not the Tennessee guy.
Who's the Georgia guy? I'm sorry.
Marcus Stroud.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I just use names. I mean, don't make me have to, research the...
It's not a research because we're hardcore with this stuff. And what it is, you have somebody like Rose who just restructured his contract with the Panthers. Somebody, 5 or 6 years, they weren't going to lose Rose. You just hit it right on the head.
All right, let's hold on a minute. Hold on. Let me poke some holes in what you're saying here.
Okay.
Carolina Panthers last year drafted Jeff Otaw to take Jordan Gross's place.
I know, because of the cap scenario, but what happened?
Oh, it wasn't just a cap scenario. He was what you'd call a finesse tackle. He wasn't the man killer. He wasn't the beast that you're proclaiming him to be.
Well, he was pretty good.
He was a good player. Good player. Yeah. Not quite as good as where he was picked. Kevin Williams, absolutely.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Terrell Suggs, absolutely.
Well,
but I think you're overshooting the mark on Jordan Gross.
Oh well, and that was the pick right after him. So we could pick hairs over that, but it was still better than anybody that the new anti-Coughlin regime came in to do it. And the structure, like you hit it right before, earlier in your program. There's core people that you draft. Mm-hmm. There's core things, linemen, defensive tackles, defensive end. Let me give you another one. Atlanta has already given up on Jamal Anderson. That experiment is over with.
He's terrible.
That's Derek Harvey right here in this
country. No, not yet. But let me tell you that, hey, Kevin, this year is a very big year for Derek Harvey, Quentin Groves, Reggie Nelson. Big year for those three guys to find out, are they going to be players to live up to what their draft positions were?
Harvey had a good practice today, I'll tell you that.
But Kevin, you're right on the money with the Atlanta Falcons defensive end because guy's terrible.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go back. It's fun to play in retrospect. It's 0-3. Who do you pick?
Your GM hat and be conscious about it.
In 03, who do you pick?
Wait a minute.
No. Hold on, Kevin. Whoa. We're in control of the show here. Vic is asking you questions.
I don't want to be in control. I just want to know.
Answer
who
the
would you pick in 03? Knowing what you know, who would you pick?
Knowing what I know, just what we had right at the line, I would have been Jordan Groves.
Okay. I think knowing what I know, Kevin Williams or Terrell Suggs is the pick.
No question.
Okay.
Kevin Williams is what? Second best defensive tackle in the game?
Or best.
No, he's not better than Haynesworth. I mean, he's not even...
Well, I mean, Albert Haynesworth can be a problem at times.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy has never been a problem.
Haynesworth is in his own category. Head and shoulders above everybody else.
And then Kevin Williams.
And then Kevin Williams is next. And then there's kind of the rest.
But Kevin Williams has been more consistent than
Albert. He's been more consistent, but he also has this star caps things kind of going on. So, I mean, he's not totally clean.
Okay, so we've given the Jaguars. Who are we going to give them? Suggs or Kevin Williams or Gross? What's the vote here?
I'd go Suggs because at that time they have two big defensive tackles they want to build.
Suggs.
Five-time Pro Bowl.
Now it's 0-4. And instead of Reggie Williams, who would we all pick?
I would have taken Tommy Harris.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Roethlisberger. We didn't pick a quarterback now in 03.
Oh, yeah. I would take Roethlisberger.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, Roethlisberger
all right.
was the guy.
We're putting together a pretty good team here.
Yeah. yeah.
All right. They're not going to run it.
In hindsight.
We're going to throw it.
In hindsight.
Oh, yep. five.
Kevin, wait a minute. Kevin, would you agree? Roethlisberger?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Okay.
Of course
okay.
I would.
05. They took out Matt Jones.
Heath Miller.
Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Yeah. Okay.
You hit it. Heath Miller is the beast. You're right. You hit it. Heath Miller. All right, let's go back. The reason we're kicking this thing around, and I want you guys to really talk about this, to really think about this. Are we going to fall in the same conundrum when Team Tebow come out of school and they're going to stress and push for him to be a Jaguar, and he's not?
I'm going to tell you exactly what I would do if I was Wayne Weaver. You ready for this? I'm absolutely certain this is what I would do. I would announce before the draft that I am going to make the pick. I would find out from Gene Smith where Tebow's supposed to go. And let's say Gene Smith said to me, well, we think he'll be off the board by round 4. All right? I would announce to the public that I am going to pick Tim Tebow. I am going to pick Tim Tebow in the second round. This is not Gene Smith's pick. This is my pick, and I'm picking him for you.
Huh?
The fans want him so much?
Nah.
I'd pick him for the fans. Here's you want him? You got it, but don't blame Gene Smith, and don't blame Jack Del Rio. I'm the guy who's picking him.
Let me ask you this.
Now fill my seats.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Let's see. Hey. You keep telling me how this guy would fill it up. Now fill my seats.
Why is there even a conversation about Tim Tebow?
Because this guy brought it up, and it's going to happen from now until...
I mean, seriously, Kevin. I mean, Tim Tebow? I mean, we're going to talk about Tim Tebow?
Okay, let's
buckle up. If it's not Kevin, it's going to be Bob or Joe. Well,
what's Kevin
want to
say? What's Kevin want to say about him?
We're moving on.
I got great respect for the guy, but I mean, I'm not anti anything. I think he's one of the greatest players to ever play the college game.
There's no question.
There's a time and a place to talk about him.
How do you like my idea?
Next year.
But we're quick because we're at the end of the hour here. But are you telling me that when you're out and about, people aren't asking you that too? I mean, every Rotary Club I've been to, walking down the beach, I mean, it's hey, they've got to take him.
I don't know. Maybe I give that air off that I shouldn't be talked to.
Then maybe you do.
I'm the owner. I'm the owner. If I take Tim Tebow.
No, you get that. I mean, you get that.
Come on. Vic is the guy.
And I give them the same answer that I just said. I think he's a phenomenal college player.
Right.
What kind of a prospect is he? I don't know. We'll find out.
See the guys who do this for a living are going to sit in their rooms, and they're going to decide where he fits. And then the fans are going to say, no, you got to look at his eyes. He's got that eye. He's a winner. He's a winner, just like Vince Young. He's got those intangibles.
Vince Young.
I look in his eye. I can see it in his eyes.
I don't even watch.
That's why if I was the owner, I'd say, That's why if I was the owner, I'd say, I'm picking him, and I'm picking him for you. Now, tickets are on sale. March your little fanny down to the ticket window, and you buy these things. I'm going to move this thing to Los Angeles.
Pulling no punches, ladies and gentlemen. Finishing the first hour with a flourish and getting ready to start.
What do you think of that
number
idea?
Two. I love it. I just think you're pointing their finger in the chest and going, back it up. You want to talk the talk, walk.
You know what Gene Smith would say? No problem, boss. Yeah. Just make sure they all understand you're making the pick and not me.
Done deal. Matt is a brilliant. You've had a lot of really crazy ideas. That one is insane, and I love it. That'll do it for hour number one. Hour number two to follow. News here at the top of the hour. Right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Phone lines filled up as we went to the news at the top of the hour, so we will get right to them. Brian Sexton with you for hour number two, joined by my broadcast partner, Jeff Loggeman, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, and Joe French Fry Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen, killing McDonald's here in the studio this evening. The box that the French fries come in is red.
Look at any apple turnovers in there.
If you did, Joe has consumed every one of them.
Did you hide them?
I'm not telling.
You're not telling.
Turn the mic on when you talk. The audience wants to hear that beautiful golden voice of yours.
You know, that 03 draft, it had more than just Terrell Suggs and Kevin Williams. And I mean, the 03 and 04 drafts, oh, man, were they loaded. Paul Molo was in one of those.
But you got to remember,
Ed
Vic,
Reed was in here.
See, that's why I'm a big believer in that. Give me a late first-round pick and another pick instead of a top-10 pick.
Yeah, Larry Johnson was in one of those drafts. Boy, with it. I mean, those two drafts really turned out. The 04 draft, that's the one with the Tommy Harris and the pass rusher from Ohio State at New Orleans.
Help me. Will Smith.
And Chris Gamble, who's a
corner in Carolina. Absolutely. Oh, DJ Williams, the linebacker from Miami, who went to Jonathan Vilma, who, you know, he has not.
He was a red dot for the Jaguars.
But he was the defensive rookie of the year in 2000.
I mean.
And the
Lee Evans.
The receiver. Yep, from Buffalo. Absolutely. I mean,
pretty
tremendous
strong.
Talent behind. And then, of course, the biggest one, though, is that they took Reggie Williams and passed on two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback Ben Roethlisberger.
Well,
You'll never get past that.
The thing is, they had taken Byron the year before. So, okay, I understand. But here's my thing. And I'm kind of stealing this from somebody else who kind of planted this in my head, and I agree with him. You got to start working that trade scenario at the beginning of the week. You got to start baiting, you know, Pittsburgh and Buffalo to come up. I mean, you got to get out of that spot. You've got to get that value. If you don't want Roethlisberger, if one of those quarterbacks, Rivers or Roethlisberger, had been there, because that was a good quarterback draft, Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger. If one of those guys is there, you've got to get out of that spot if you don't want one, and you wouldn't have because you just taken Byron, and you've got to recoup the value of that pick. You just can't sit there and pick Reggie Williams. You've got to get out of that hole.
355-NFL-1. Phone lines are lit. Let's grab Lee in Ponte Vedra to start hour number two. Hello, Lee.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Vic, you pushed my button. And we've known each other for years.
All righty.
How in the heck do you compare Tebow to Vince Young? My kids went to Nice High School.
Well, I didn't compare him to Vince Young. I didn't compare him to Vince
Young.
Yes,
you most certainly did, sir. you most certainly did. I just heard it, and you pushed my button. No,
it's don't coming through here, Lee. Oh, yeah, baby. It's
coming through the
microphone.
Oh, no. You play it back, my friend. You can't compare.
The comparison was the winner comment. He wasn't comparing him as a person.
No, I remember.
Oh, you're going to compare him as a winner?
Well, because
he was not a winner.
No,
he won
no.
a national championship, Lee.
Yeah,
the guy was the toast of the town, so to speak. He was a national title winner. He was the third pick of the draft. I don't think Tim Tebow is going to be the third pick of the draft.
He may not be, but please don't compare those two.
He wasn't.
Please.
Lee, trust me, he wasn't. You're overreacting there, buddy.
That's okay. Let's talk about the Charleston Southern game. Let's see if we can get a handle on that.
Trust me, when Vic wants to draw a comparison,
nasty.
He will.
No, there's no drawing a comparison. Just point out he is or he isn't.
I mean, come on. Let's not get overly sensitive here. I mean, you know, I said I would take him in the second round if I was the owner. And
I like what you said.
Okay.
I like what you said. And you know what? Fill the seats.
That's
and
right.
He would.
Fill
and
the seats. I'm moving the team.
And he might be on the practice squad the first year. You know?
Oh, no. He'll be under center for the season opener.
Oh, you
because think? You asked for it.
I will bet you a round of golf that he's not under center the first season.
He would be if I was the owner. Why? Because you asked for it. Remember that TV show?
He's not.
Oh,
he would not fill the seats, Lee.
Well, no.
He'd fill those seats or he'd fill them somewhere else.
Yeah, you know what?
Because I've heard enough of that.
He has a following, and he's a winner, and he brings something maybe more than athleticism. Maybe he doesn't have the arm that everybody's looking for. Or the
it's
mechanics.
In the eyes.
Oh, stop it with the eyes.
He's just pulling
remember what? Remember what Mike Ditka said about Danny Werfel? He's just a winner.
Danny is not.
It's in your eyes right now, pal. It is in your eyes right now.
Dick.
Lee, I think maybe we just need to say goodnight. Thanks for joining
us
on the program.
I appreciate you guys.
I'll tell you a funny story.
I appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll tell you a funny story. There was some of the fans in the bleachers. Jeremy Mincy had done something not good. All right, and some fans yelled, "Come on, Mincy, it's all right, baby. Come on, Mincy." And there was the Kick Boys. We're standing there watching. You know,
the Kick Boys.
Yeah, the kickers, the punters. You know,
okay.
The guys that just
Scobie, Weatherford, Podlis,
all up. Yeah.
And one of them said, "And why? Because he's a Gator." They can do no wrong.
Let's go to James in Mandarin up next. Hello, James. How are you?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Man, I'm ready for some football, but all this talk about Tebow's driving me nuts. People forget we had a Gator in Fred Taylor, and I think we can stake the bank on it that he's probably going to have a better career than Tebow will. But, you know, that's a little
that's well said.
Nobody came to see Fred play. I think it's a matter of you know,
finite
amount of, you know, expendable income, and the games are very expensive. But, you know, back to this year's draft class, I've kind of learned to ratchet my expectations after last year. I was all excited about John Broussard, the opening game. He caught that ball, and I think that was the only pass that he caught that year. But talk to me about Jared Dillard, Vic. What do you see in him, and why would we treat him differently than Charles Cherone or John Broussard? Thanks.
Well, I found out that Jared has some kind of a toenail problem. Apparently it has come off, his big toe, and he's limping. He's struggling. Yeah, you're darn right it hurts. It's not like the old days, tape it to the other one. That doesn't work anymore because now they actually throw the football. And he's struggling on the field. He's limping a little bit. And he got a bout of the dropsies late last week. Friday, some drop balls. And then was it Monday morning? I mean, he really came apart on, I think it was Monday morning. So he's now seen the underside of professional football. You know, he's now seen what it can be when it's bad. It's hot and you're not doing well. And your toe hurts like hell. that's a bad combination. I'm hot, I'm not playing well, and my toe's on fire. I think it's going to get better for him. But he's a smaller guy. He's a slower guy. Small and slow isn't a great combination, you know, which means that you got to catch every freaking thing that hits your hands. When that starts happening for him, he'll get back in this. Right now, he's starting to fall a little bit. He's got to start catching everything,
and he will bounce back.
I'm sure he will.
He made a tremendous catch. I don't know whether it was 9-on-7 or drills the other night. I don't know what you call it, but in the scrimmage,
yeah,
he made a tremendous catch.
Oh, he can go up. 42-inch vertical. Yeah. Now, see where he falls down in
the
measurables in terms of size and speed. He jumps up in the measurable for vertical. Leap, 42 inches, which I think was the second highest vertical leap, jump or whatever they call it, at the combine. He's got that going for him, and he had that reputation for the great hands. He's got to get that reputation back.
355 NFL 1. Let's break. We'll return with more Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio. WOKV, depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Again, apologies to Lee. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. If you'd like to be the next sacrificial lamb, for Vic Ketchman here this evening. Oh, I'm just kidding. It was just so much fun to watch.
You're asking for it.
I am asking for it. Let's grab. Who we got here? We've got
James in Charlotte.
Hello, James. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay.
That's good. Great.
I'm a big time Jaguars fan. I'm from Jacksonville, and I have to live here. So, but I just figured
nice
I'd call
town.
In, and sure enough, I got through. I can't believe it. So, just wanted to make a couple of comments. One. It's really disheartening for me to read these things about the ticket sales slumping and things like that, because I mean, I live 350 miles away, and I try to at least go to one or two games a year. So I really don't know what the deal is with people not going out to see their team. And it's actually, it kind of ticks me off a little bit because that's my hometown. And
yep.
One thing I think that the fans have forgotten is the passion that we had for that team when they got there. I mean, you couldn't walk anywhere without Jaguar stuff. You couldn't get a ticket to a game. And one of the things I have been thinking about, and Vic, you're going to jump all over me about this, but
well, come on, let's go.
especially during like the training camp times and things like that, like on a Saturday or Sunday, play one of those classic Jaguars games, you know, like the Falcons Morton Anderson game or things like that. Just to, sometimes I think the fans forget how passionate. Now, I remember when that happened, you know, those kind of things. To me, it's just kind of, you know, it's like a relationship. You've been married for 15 years. Once in a while, you need that spark. And sometimes I think, you know, the Jaguars fans need that spark. And, you know, I'm going to be actually in Jacksonville next weekend when the Tampa Bay Bucks are in town and it's going to be blacked out. You know, so anyway, I just want to get your thoughts on that. By the way, I'm happy about the team. I can't say I'm excited because I know we're probably not going to exactly go deep in the playoffs, but I'm really happy with the way Gene Smith has done things.
So am I.
And bye-bye Shaq Harris. I'm really glad. So anyway, I just want to get your comments on that.
Well, first of all, I think that you are in love with your football team, and I think that's great. And it comes shining through in your voice. You're crazy about the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's just great, and I wish there were – What's the capacity here? 66?
Just about 67,000.
Well, I wish there were 66,999 more like you.
That's for sure.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Jose is in Arlington. Hello, Jose.
Yes, sir.
You are on the air.
Oh, that's great. I just want to say thank you to what you guys do on a weekly basis with the Jaguars. I love the Jaguars. I've been in Jacksonville for about 6 years now, and I love everything about them.
Make that
I think it's a great franchise.
66,998. Go ahead.
And anyway, all I want to do is ask about how do you guys feel that how our defense is going to match up and fare up with against all 31 teams in the NFL going on this year?
Well, I think the real key to their defensive success is that defensive front. As we talked about before, if you ignore the defensive line, what grade would you assign this defense? In my mind, I'd say B+.
Yeah, I would too.
I mean, linebackers and secondary, I think it's very solid. I think they have depth. I think they have some youth. But the biggest question mark is the defensive front. Now, if all of a sudden Quent Groves and Derek Harvey and Julius Williams, this free agent rookie from Connecticut, all of a sudden light it up and Atiyah Ellison, you know, lives to what we're seeing now, they'll be fine. But
can they manufacture a defense like they did in 2003 with those guys up front?
I've seen it done.
Remember, I mean, 2003, they had Marcus and they had John. I mean, Rasheen was a rookie. They didn't have Tony Brackens was not where he was the year before. I mean, can they manufacture it with the other guys around the defensive front?
You had dominant premier players
right
in 03.
I covered a team in 1992 that had the number 2 ranked defense in the league. And it was built with scrap defensive linemen. Do you remember a defensive lineman named Donald Evans?
Yeah, I remember.
He played with the Jets, did he not?
Yeah, played with me for a short time.
He was scrap. I mean, he'd been rejected by the Rams, the Jets.
He was crazy, by the way.
Yeah, he was completely nuts.
Yeah, he was a nut job.
Oh, yeah. Did you know this guy? Let me tell you about this guy. He was a fanatic about brushing his teeth. Did you ever know that about him?
I just knew he was crazy.
He's completely nuts.
Yeah.
And he brushed his teeth like 20 times an hour.
Wore the enamel right off.
He was constantly going to the back of the plane to brush his teeth. I never seen anything like it. This guy couldn't play at all. Dom Capers was a defensive coordinator, and they got that smoke gone and the mirrors gone, and they got it done. I mean, they didn't go anywhere, but, you know, the ranking looked great. It can be done. Mel Tucker and Jack Del Rio, I saw a lot of smoke and a lot of mirrors on the field today. Let's see. Maybe they can coach them up.
Dan, you're starting to see a little bit of 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're starting to see a sprinkling of it here, a little bit there, mm-hmm. and they're doing it with Clint Ingram being a guy, potential rush guy, mm-hmm. and then sometimes on the other side might be Quentin Groves, and sometimes it might be Derek Harvey.
I saw Harvey dropping off into coverage today. Yeah. I saw Derek Landry drop off into coverage, and I saw Coach Del Rio hands-on coaching. And then I heard the words, the magic words, zone blitz.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching zone blitz, and he was telling Reggie Hayward, you've got to make it look like you're going to rush to sell rush, and then drop off. You know, they're doing things here because they know they're not going to be able to line up and knock people's heads off. That they're not going to be able to do that up front.
No, and to me, when you zone blitz, you change it up, you make the other team prepare for more, but you're not depleting your coverage. So under Greg Williams last year, his big thing was bump and run man, cover one and cover zero. And that was depleted coverage because mm-hmm. you were sending extra rushers. When you zone blitz, you don't send extra. You just send ones that normally don't rush, and you drop ones that normally don't drop. So to me, with the personnel that they have, the zone blitz fits a heck of a lot better than cover zero and bring in the house.
Oh, no question.
Or cover one and bring in the house.
Yeah, I mean, you've got some built-in safeguards in a zone blitz because you're dropping people into the lanes instead of subtracting from the lanes, and you're playing zone.
355-NFL-1. Grab a couple more calls. Go to Jeff, who joins us from the south side. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got a comment about the Jaguar fans. You know, it's not really the fans that turn their back on the team. I think that over the years, it's more the team has kind of turned it back on the fans.
Mm-hmm.
The talent is there, definitely.
Okay.
But the class, I mean, compared to what we had back in 95, I mean, you know, the players took their time with the fans, signed everything. You know, now it's like they walk by, mm-hmm. they don't acknowledge the fans.
Have you been in training camp this year?
Oh, yeah, I've gone... I would say probably four or five times.
They got a table out here. These guys are sitting at the hear me. Hear me on this. These players, Maurice Jones-Drew, by the way, is leading the band, are coming off the field in some of the hottest weather I can remember in a long time, completely drenched. Their hands so covered in perspiration, it's hard to hold the pen in their hands. And they are making sure not to rest their hands on the paper, you know, because that would be to ruin it. And these guys are sitting there in the sun at a table signing every autograph request from a line of people that extends pretty far. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not a guy who's got a lot of people clamoring for my autograph, you know. And so I would be flattered to have that kind of attention. But on a day like today coming off the field, I'd rather go in the air conditioning and have a cold drink. But these guys are sitting, they're staying out there, and they're signing. I think you're all wet on this one.
I haven't seen anybody turn down an autograph request.
No.
In fact, Elisa Abbott with the PR department has a huge box of pens, and I see everybody stick their hand in and grab as they go by.
You got to remember, too, Jeff, I mean, these guys are working, okay? They're tired, they're beat down, and when the practice is over, their day is not done.
Oh, no.
Okay, they have things to do. I mean, some guys can't stay and sign, okay? So don't get mad because one player said, no, I'm not going to do it. Player may have something he's got to do. You
Absolutely.
Know, some players have treatment, and it just severely restricts their schedule.
This may be the most fan-friendly
no question.
And media-friendly training camp
of
the National Football League. Do you know what they're doing in Indianapolis? You're not going to believe this.
Go ahead.
They made reporters give them their notebooks. You know, they didn't want, you know how most camps don't want cameras and that kind of stuff? They won't even let the reporters have their notebooks. I got this from Ryan Robinson. Pete Prisco. No, I'm sorry, it was from Ryan. They were taking notebooks away from the media. Now, when in a camp like that, it's not just structured, so restrictive. Do you think you're gonna get players sitting and signing autographs?
Oh, that's your buddy Bill Polian there.
Oh,
without
Bill
Tony
Polian
Dungy,
is not an autograph kind of guy.
Yeah, No way. Well, and don't forget, they moved the stands close to the field this year so that the fans could be part of it all.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Would you expect Peyton Manning to sit at a table after a practice in 100-degree temperatures and sign autographs?
No.
I mean, this by far the fan-friendliest training camp that they've ever had.
Yep. They have worked it hard. Appreciate the phone call, Jeff. 355-NFL-1. Folks, we've got another half hour of this program to come after the news here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Well, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants in the greater Jacksonville area. Save on things like Jaguars gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants. A lot more. Go to jaguars.com/rewards for more information. We return to the phone lines, which have been stacked all night here as we roll till 8 o'clock. 355-NFL-1. Ray joins us from the South Side. Popular spot tonight. Hey, Ray.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good.
All right. I played football before, but I mean, the fans are going a little overboard with the signing autograph things, man. The guy's a hot time to get in, but I just want to talk about two things. If you can talk about Nate Hughes, he looked like he really been lighting up this last week or two. If you could just tell me how he's doing or what their expectations out of him.
He's doing great.
And what was that?
He is doing great. I mean, he is one of the two surprises in training camp at wide receiver, the other one being Troy Williamson. But Nate Hughes is surprise number one. Williamson is surprise number two. Hughes has had another great week here so far. He started out Monday morning with some big catches. He was returning punts this afternoon. And frankly, with Mike Thomas out with a hamstring pull, Nate Hughes is the most comfortable looking at fielding punts of anybody back there, including Brian Witherspoon.
I think he had like over 4,000 yards at Alcorn State when he played there. You know, combined yardage. Another thing too, I saw Trey Thomas out there. Man, he was dominating Quentin Groves. My goodness, I was like, I just had to shake my head. I'm just like, I knew that. You know, when y'all had him on the air when he first got here, in 650 pass attempts, he only gave up 2 sacks. Or some crazy number like that. You know how you say, okay, yeah, whatever. Let me see what you're gonna do when you put these pads on. And he was throwing Quentin the Groves around like he was a rag doll.
He did that the entire first week.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't just I've blocked you. There was a couple instances where Quentin Groves was on his back and Trey Thomas had put him there very forcefully. So Trey Thomas has looked good. And you know what? Hey, Quentin Groves needed that. And you talk about Nate Hughes. It's amazing to me how things always change from OTAs to camp. You know, rookies have a tendency to get a little bit kind of confused with all of the things that are kind of put in. Sometimes they kind of smooth it out once they get into that second week. But the first week for some of them, it's tough because you're getting everything thrown at you basically in a week's time. Mm-hmm. So to be able to compute that, get lined up, and then just to be able to be an athlete, it's very difficult. Nate Hughes obviously has more time in the system, but looks extremely polished. He doesn't look overwhelmed, whereas Tyquan Underwood as well as Jarrett Dillard at times have looked overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your final grade, which is making the team or not, you have homework assignments, you have in-class kind of grades, mm-hmm. and then you have tests. Okay. The tests haven't come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the big percentage of the grade comes from starting this Monday night, then the following Saturday, and so on and so on. So when the lights come on, how will these guys look? Because you know what? I'm going to bring up a prime example, and we talked about this before. James Weiss has impressed over the last 3 years in training camp in the first 2 weeks without question. You go, wow, that guy looks good. What happens when the lights come on?
Good night.
Where'd James Weiss go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's going to happen with Nate Hughes? What's going to happen with Jarrett Diller? What's going to happen with Tyquan Underwood? What's going to happen to Troy Williamson? What's going to happen to James Weiss this year? Is he going to disappear or is he going to show up?
I've got Nate Hughes in my lock category. right now. It's not that that can't change,
right.
But I consider him a lock to make this team. Mike Walker has a high ankle sprain, and you know, Mike hasn't been well. That's not the kind of injury you come back quickly from, is it?
No. No. Oh, no.
If that's what it is, no. I mean, high ankle sprains usually take a while, 6 to 8 weeks.
At least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I think it is. That's what my suspicion is. So where does that put Mike in his quest to make the team?
History comes into play. He's been hurt a lot.
Can you put a guy on your final 53 if he can't go anymore this preseason?
Let me ask you this.
Can you put a guy on your final 53
if he doesn't go the rest of the preseason?
Right.
Absolutely not. Maybe injured reserve. You know, maybe practice squad. Maybe just let him go.
But here's the thing with Mike Walker, when
you talk Mike Walker, the thing that always has to come up is that he has had microfracture surgery. Right?
Yeah, but this is an ankle.
I know that. But you have to take into account that he has a knee that is not going to heal completely, ever.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to take that into account. Mm-hmm. And he has had past injuries, past the knee. Okay, mm-hmm. He had ankles last year, I thought. Wasn't it an ankle that took him out last year?
Yes, it was.
Yes.
So
he had, and then he got the infection, though. Was that infection in the ankle or the knee?
No, it was the knee.
It was the knee. That's the one, the staph infection.
After the Steelers game.
That's the one that really screwed him.
Yep.
So, I mean, there are concerns there with Mike Walker.
So, I mean, I'm looking at this wide receiver thing, and, Mike's injury clouds it. And
Troy Williamson's having a good camp.
And Mike Thomas's injury now is lingering. I expect him to make
it
back fully.
He's going to make it.
Okay. He's the guy who's being counted on to be their return man. He was a lights-out returner in college, and he is
– punt returner.
Yeah, he can return kicks too, but he punt returner especially. So I think that if Mike gets back soon enough that he can play in these preseason games, I think he'll show himself to be a reliable returner, and that'll put him on the roster. Okay, I got Torrey Holt. There's Mike Thomas. I think Nate uses a lock. That leaves two more, and I'm leaning toward Troy Williamson and Tyquan Underwood because they have speed.
Maybe. Tyquan Underwood, though, seventh-round pick, probably practice squad. Physically, he's still not there, I don't think.
You know, I'm with you.
I
know what you know.
You know what I look at?
The word that coaches like to use, especially Jack, is flash. And this guy continues to flash. He always flashes once a practice.
But when you determine a 53, you got to look at the 45. Can he get active on game day? Okay, can Tyquan Underwood get active on game day? With what you're talking about?
As a deep threat?
He's not a special teams player.
You know, when did Troy Williamson become Mr. Reliability?
He plays special teams.
Okay, he's a good special teams player.
He will play special teams, and he will play well on special teams. It's not above him.
And this team, by the way, has a lot of good special teams players.
Tim
Brian
Shaw.
Iwa,
yep.
Iwu, Tim Shaw.
Montel Owens.
I mean, it's not like they're going to be hurting for special teams guys.
Well, and it's going to be interesting to watch some of these other guys play on special teams. You know, Desimero, is that right?
DeSormo. Oh, he's got to be a practice.
Kennard Cox, Tyrone.
Brackenridge.
Tyron Brackenridge.
Jack called him T-Brack on the air last night, and I did a double take.
Yeah, because the only T-Brack we know is Tony Brackens.
We already have one of those. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some of these guys here, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of role they can find with Russ Purnell.
All right, it's time for a break. Let's take it now. Final one of the night. We'll come back with one more segment. Folks, when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 7 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, once you go, you get it. When you come here to Jaguars this week, you get it also. Only on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
11 minutes left in the program here. We'll go right back to the phone lines. We've got Gene up in the Ocean Way area. Hello, Gene. Welcome.
Good evening, fellas. I'd like to make a comment, if I could, and then ask a question.
Please.
First off, thank you, Mr. Weaver. I was one of the 15-year season ticket holders that were at the scrimmage, and I thought that was very well done.
Yeah.
The extra food and drink didn't hurt a thing, and the scrimmage was fun. And the second question I've got, and it's something I've been wondering for a while. I mean, the rookie salary cap, I think we can all agree it's pretty silly. And, you know, I know guys need to make as much money as they can, but I'd like to see them perform first. So my question being, last year Derek Harvey pretty much stayed out all year, and then he wasn't as productive as what he might could have been. So my question is, they've already offered Mr. Monroe a substantial amount of money, I'm sure, and I like Mr. Monroe. I think he's seems like a real good guy. But my question is, as he stays out more and more and he becomes less valuable to the team this year, why don't they reduce the remuneration that he's fixing to make?
Oh, that's the idea. That's what they're trying to do. I mean, this is a tug of war. The player wants a lot, and the team wants to give less.
But they've already made an offer to him. They're not going to go less than what they've already made.
Well, but I mean, you've got to be realistic. I mean, you've got to be, you know, logical about this. You got to look at the people around him. Look what Hayward Bay got. It's obscene. Look what Jason Smith got. This is a top 10 left tackle. This is a top 10 player who is a left tackle, a premium position player. Look what Hayward Bay got. He's a wide receiver. Wide receiver. Dime a dozen. This guy is a premium position left tackle.
Now, your opinion on the Hayward Bay deal in Oakland?
Well, it's just obscene.
On perspective. I mean, if you're Hayward Bay, it's a fantastic deal.
Absolutely.
You know?
But there's no one who's saying, yeah, the Raiders got the best of that.
No. No, that, I mean, it's... I don't want to go back to this, but I'm just make quick mention of it. I mean, there has to be some type of redoing in the collective bargaining the next time around when it comes to these rookie contracts.
Or you do, or all teams do, as the Jaguars are doing, which is to say no. I mean, no one is holding a gun to anybody's head. No one is saying, you have to sign these players. You know, this is the system. These guys don't.
No, but
the team has all the leverage.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen. I mean, if they're going to have a cap, I mean, they have to fix the cap. The biggest problem that I have, perfect example. Okay, the defensive end Jarvis Moss in Denver. Okay,
right.
The defensive end in Atlanta Jamal Anderson.
Neither one can play.
Neither one of these guys will ever make a Pro Bowl. Neither one of these guys are. They might not be on a roster.
Right,
Jarvis
Moss is talking about retiring, and the other guy is close to being cut.
Okay, well, these guys, not too long ago, probably got signing bonuses. I mean, they're what, both top 10 picks?
Jamal Anderson broke the bank.
Moss was 20th. Okay, Jamal Anderson was what, number 9?
Yeah, he broke the bank.
Jamal Anderson?
Yeah, he was number 8.
Okay,
yeah.
Number 8. I mean, these guys got probably in signing bonus combined $25+ million.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so that's $25 million, okay? Let's split it in two. That's $12 million that productive players on those rosters could have gotten or could get.
Yeah, but Jeff, what I'm trying to
but
say
I mean,
is...
That's the thing, though.
Taking it out of the pool.
It takes it out of the pool for the guys that are productive, and that's what I have a problem with when the draft. Now, I didn't have a problem with it back in 1989, but I got a problem with it now.
Once training camp... I know, it's right. There you go. Free market.
Honesty, absolutely.
Once training camp ends...
But it wasn't like this. Nate.
No, it was not insane like this.
Once training camp ends, all of the leverage goes to the team. That's why the Harvey deal got done right as soon as camp ended. You know, but the agent knows that he's got the leverage while training camp is going on.
Well, and this is a relatively new agent.
It's his first big deal.
Okay.
He's only ever had one client.
Okay, so if
besides Monroe?
Besides Monroe.
If he messes this up... He's going to have a hard time attracting clients in the future.
But
that's the problem with a lot of the situations that you have in the first round with holdouts. The agent is in the controlling seat, and the players are not because of their youth and inexperience and their trust that they put in the agents.
You know what my fear is? I mean, I don't know if he can do this, but it's a fear of mine, is that Eugene would get upset at his agent and fire him. and then bring in one of these, you know, CAA guys or Rosenhaus, you know, you know, then it could get nasty.
If it gets nasty, it's not going to get nasty. I think there's enough professionalism, certainly in this building here, that it won't ever do that.
No, but I'm saying if you had this guy as your agent and you knew that he only has ever done one other contract, wouldn't you have some regret? Maybe I got the wrong guy. Maybe this guy doesn't know how to get it done. I want to get to camp, and there's nothing happening.
I think you got to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
You know, I remember going through the process. Whenever there was a conversation between the agent and the team, I wanted to know exactly what was said.
Absolutely.
I wanted to know the exact numbers of what the offer were, and I wanted to have it put out in front of me. Here's what the offer is. Here's what they got behind you. Here's what's in front of you. Here's what the deal was last year. And then as a player, you have to make the call.
And Monroe's okay. That kind of guy, too, by the way. He's real bright.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he'll make sure he gets the information because he'll be able to digest it.
So, but what he's seeing and what part of the problem is, and that's the problem with that little group of players, is the Hayward Bay deal. It messed it up.
It's a killer.
So when you have one team make a bad deal,
well, and then the Crabtree deal's not helping anything at all. I mean, it's not done yet, but you've got Crabtree and his advisors.
49ers aren't going to give in on that.
I know, but you got to imagine that Monroe's agent is scared of a mega deal coming at 10 that would make his deal at 8 look if he doesn't wait on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as soon as camp is over, they'll all be in because that's when the leverage goes to the teams.
Well, I don't know now. Cincinnati Bengals, maybe not.
They had Keith Rivers last year, and that's exactly what happened. Well, no, they didn't go all the way to the end. They got it done about halfway through camp.
Haven't the Cincinnati who was it a few years ago? Cincinnati Bengals had that held out into the season.
Yeah, you're right. Wasn't David Pollack?
I thought they had one that went in the regular season. But anyway, I mean, Jamarcus Russell with the Raiders. I mean, that was that deal there.
So that went into the season.
Yeah, went into the season.
It went almost to the end of September.
I'm kind of wondering why Al Davis, you know, threw all this money out of Hayward Bay, and then, you know, he held the line pretty well on Jamarcus Russell.
What a mess that situation is, and it's affecting everybody. Everybody wants look. This is the way it's done. It's business. Don't take it personally.
Hey, real quick, let's try and grab Jerry over in Avondale. He's been holding a while. Hey, Jerry.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
A long time I haven't called you, but
I missed you.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I love you too, Vic.
All right,
but you were talking earlier to a guy. I think his name was Keith that was talking about what we should have done in the draft back in '93, '95. And you know, the one thing I've noticed since Tom Coughlin was forced out of this town, as far as I'm concerned, by the press.
No.
Yes,
you guys, you, the fans, you're the ones. You know,
no, I love Tom
remember
Coughlin.
That no more 3 yards in a cloud of dust stuff? That wasn't the media that wrote that. That was the fans who were saying it.
No, man. You guys have got to take some responsibility for that. I love Tom Coughlin. I think he was a no-nonsense coach, and he proved that. He went to New York and took a bunch of guys who were prima donnas and won a national title.
Okay.
Won the Super Bowl. But since Jack Del Rio's been here, he's changed his staff so many times, and Jack, whoever he was, Shaq, was a terrible, terrible, what's the word I'm looking for?
He was drafter?
He wasn't good at evaluating talent.
Drafter.
Coughlin brought people in here who were rejects and made them superstars. Jimmy Smith, McCardell, he drafted well, Stroud and Henderson.
And I tried to tell you back then that he was an offensive genius. I remember, how many times did I say, Brian?
Over and
the moment
over
he's fired, he'll be an offensive coordinator. He can be an offensive coordinator for any team in the league that needs one. Remember I used to say that?
Yep.
Oh, all he ever does is running up the middle. And I told you, you were full of it. So go ahead, tell me how the media screwed this one up.
Want me to tell you?
Yeah. You tell me.
Lively. Let me tell you, Vic Ketchman.
Lively,
one of these
lively
days,
show.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the because I know how to push your buttons after working alongside you for a number of years.
Okay,
now.
Push
it. I'm gonna like hit the bathroom in a commercial break and then tell you guys I might be in there for a while and tell you I got something going on. And I'm going to go in there and disguise my voice and call in and see how many buttons I can push.
Sure. Well, you know the first
one. This is Joe on the north side. Let me talk to that there, Vic Ketchum.
You know the first one, and it's going to happen all season long. Hey, Vic, if they draft Tebow, it'll fill the stadium.
Absolutely.
That will push every button all year long.
Because they asked for it.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.